Our basic nature is insecurity. That's why a child quickly runs to his mother soon as he sees any difficulty, any problem. And this insecurity continues throughout our life. And there are various kinds of insecurities that we all suffer from. First of all is the physical insecurity. I'm worried about my physical well-being. What will happen tomorrow? Will I be healthy or not? Will I have enough money or not? Will I have a place to stay? Will the stock market be doing well? Will I have a job? So that's physical insecurity. So for that, then we accumulate money and buy a house, and then we have alarms and gates, and the more we have, the more insecure we get. Then we get armed guards and armed dogs and fences and all that. So the more we have, the more insecure we become. It should be the other way around, but our insecurity grows. After physical, then we have emotional or mental insecurity. You know, I don't want to be alone, so I get married, you know, so that at least there is somebody to share my loneliness with. Then we have children so that they will take care of me in my old age, so I'll have somebody. And then we are not enough, so then we extend it to extended families, especially in India, you know, the uncles and aunts and, you know, living in joint family and grandparents and Masi, Masa, all those, you know, all those additional layers, or security in the village. You know, people belong to a particular village or a particular town, so, you know, they have that community sense. So I get my security from emotionally. Having satisfied, then people have intellectual insecurity. So what do? I then form a club, you know, accountants association, medical association, engineers society. And if I find that the organization has become too big, then I form my own organization where I am the president and my brother-in-law is the secretary and my wife is the treasurer. And especially Indians, we are so good at forming associations. We have Telugu Association, Tamil Association, Gujarat Society, Punjab, all of that. Why? Because we want people of our own kind, you know, with whom we can relate, either from our profession or from our community. And so we keep looking for security in impermanent things. We think that by, you know, getting this property, this job, I'll get. But again, nothing in this world is permanent. Everything is changing. The world is constantly changing. And then people are changing. Today, I love you. Tomorrow, I'm not sure. You know, I found somebody else. So we find that in an attempt to get security, we want more and more. Our greed increases, our desire to possess. There is no satisfaction. There is no end to this. We cannot find permanent security in an impermanent world. So our rishis, who were great psychologists, said, look at nature. Look at nature, how she works in harmony. The entire nature before man came was doing fine. Everything was working so beautifully. They were all compatible, the plants, the animals, the forest, the mountains, the rivers. Everything was working in perfect harmony until we came and disturbed it, which is, you know, I mean, of course, we also did a lot of good things. I'm not saying that men only did bad things. But nature, if you look at her, she works in perfect harmony. The animals, birds, plants, fish, and each one, you know, has its own, whatever they need for their survival, the good Lord has provided. In fact, Guru Nanak Ji says, and said it very beautifully one time, he says, we all worry about who will take care of me when I get old. He said that Almighty Lord, who even takes care of the moss growing in the water, he makes sure even that moss gets enough nutrition to grow and multiply, and the moss spreads. If he can take care of the moss, you don't think he will take care of you, who is the crown and root of his creation? It's a very beautiful, you know, phrase from Guru Nanak Ji. I always remember that. He said, have faith in God. If you are doing the right thing, if you are doing his work, the one who does my work, thinks about me and works for me, then I take responsibility for their yoga and kshema. I make sure they get what they need, and whatever they have, I preserve it. There's a written guarantee, no better warranty you can ask. You know, we go to the car dealer, 5-year warranty, and you go there and say, oh, this is not in warranty. But here Bhagwan himself, in his own words, has said, what more do we want? But no, we don't look to do that. And that's why we need to learn from nature. Nature shares. The trees, they just, mango trees full of mangoes, hundreds of mangoes, thousands, doesn't keep a single one for itself, just gives to everybody. The river, she has this beautiful, pure water. The Gangaji comes from the Himalayas. Not a drop she keeps for herself, everything. But we have problems. We don't want to share. We don't want to give. So the rishis say that if you're looking for permanent security, look for it in something permanent. Temporary security you can find in the world, but if you want permanent security, look for the one who is permanent. That is your permanent security. Everything else in this world will change, but the Lord will never change. That's why one of his names is Avyayam, that which never changes. There is no change in that. That is constant. But then, you know, there are two schools of thought. One school says you should give to whoever comes, you know, like the tree or the river. They don't discriminate. They just give it to everybody. But then other people say, no, no, no. You need to see whom you should give, whom you should not give. You should use your intellect. So which one is right? Let's see what Bhagwan says. He will answer that for us. Whom should we give? How should we give? When should we give? Why should we give? What should we give? Everything is answered in these three verses. We'll see how many we can finish today. So verse number 20, chapter 17. Dātavyamiti yaddānam dīyate nupakārine deshe kale cha patre cha daddanam satvikam smritam. So datavyam, it should be given. It is the right thing to give. Iti, just think that this is giving, is at this moment, this particular giving for me is the right thing to do, and not giving will be painful. That understanding should come. Datavyam, it is to be given. Iti yaddanam, that kind of charity. Diyate, and it is given how? Anupakarine, means not even expecting anything back in return. See, when we give somebody, we say, you know what, this guy will be useful to me. Or at least we say, at least he should have said thank you. He didn't even express his gratitude. In fact, Swami Chinmayananda, one place he says, people come and say, Swamiji, I worked, went in that place. I served and worked for 4 hours, 6 hours. And nobody even said thank you. They didn't even give me a cup of tea. I worked for 6 hours in that place doing charity. So Swamiji says, you worked 6 hours for a cup of tea? You know, I mean, people are... they expect, you know, if I have done something good, then people should praise me. Aha, you are such a great person. You are a Mahatma. You know, because of you, this world is standing. All these things we want to hear. Otherwise, it's no use to serve. So, anupakarine. So, even that person may be my enemy. Maybe may have never praised me. But if he needs help, if it's a worthy place, right place, I should give. And then, how should I give? So Krishna says, deshe kale cha patre cha. Patre means it should be the right person who deserves help. And where should you give him? At the right place, deshe and kale. So the right place, the right time to the right person, that dhanam is satvikam smritam. Is said to be satvik dhanam. So this is something we'll like to spend some time. So as we said, you need to first of all be sure that the person needs help, the right person. And you should give him at the time he needs help. You know, if he needed help, he comes to you, and then 6 months later you say, you know, I thought about it. Then it's already too late. So give it to him at the right time. Give it to him at the right place where he needs help. And without an idea that what do I get out of it? See, when we help, it is always, what do I get? Is my name going to be in the gold letters, you know, on the building? Or are people going to recognize me? No, my idea is not. Because once you do it for recognition, once you do it for praise, it lowers the quality of your giving. From sattvic, it becomes rajasic. We'll talk about that. And they say, especially at auspicious place and auspicious time, you must give. Like if you go to a temple, you know, or a spiritual place, give. That is good. And an auspicious time, like, you know, Shivratri or Ekadashi or, you know, festival time. Or if you go to somebody's house where there are little children, don't go empty-handed. Take some, you know, little gift for them. Same thing when you go to a temple or a spiritual place, give. And they say, again, be very careful about whom you give. Say, like the example of the tree we talked about. The tree doesn't say, I'll only give my mangoes to good people. Or the river doesn't say, you know, don't come and take. Suppose somebody has killed his mother or killed his child or done something horrible. The river doesn't say, get out of here, you papi. You know, don't come and take water. No. She gives water to everybody. If somebody is thirsty, gets water. Somebody is very dirty and filthy, covered with mud, and he jumps in the river. She doesn't say, you are too dirty, you're going to dirty me. No, she lovingly accepts everybody. But Shankaracharya ji says that river, tree are examples of giving, but they do not have the ability to discriminate. They cannot decide what is right, what is wrong, whether they should give, whether they should not give. Human beings have the ability to think. And so we need to see that it should be given to the right person at the right time with the right place. And the person should truly need help. Like I was thinking about, like somebody, you know, tells you, oh, this person is in great need. He has to have a heart surgery. And if he doesn't get $20,000, you know, he will die. And so they're doing fundraising and they're raising money from different people. Now you feel bad, you know, so you start think, okay, I should write a check. It is good if you want to help somebody like that, or somebody needs for education, you know, for giving to education, giving to spiritual institutions where good work is done. And that is called a sattvic dan, where if you can educate a child, you know, put him through college or school, then that is good. But sometimes you get things like these, you know, person needs for heart surgery. You want to do give, but first confirm it. You know, does he really, is a patient like that really exists? Does he really need it? You know, maybe look at a doctor's certificate. And then don't just say, okay, you come to my house and take the check. The poor guy is lying in bed. He can hardly move. You know, he cannot come to your house. So either go and give him the check or put it in his bank account or in the fund. So give it where the, or like there's a child who needs a suit and you give him the adult suit and say, okay, wear it. Now he doesn't have the money to get it altered. You know, he needs to go for an interview, like to a college or something, and you've given him a big thing. So give him what he can use. Give him the right thing at the right time. This reminds me of a very beautiful story about these dollar bills. It's, what happened is the $100, $50, $20 and $1 bill had been printed in the same printing press, in the mint, at the same time. And so they traveled around the world, and a few years later, they met in a coffee shop. So the $100 bill, the $50, $20, and $1 bill. And they were talking with each other as over a cup of coffee. So they asked the $100 bill, where have you been? You know, we haven't heard from you for years. He said, oh, I had a great life. I went from casino to casino. I've been in Las Vegas. I've been in Monaco. I've been in everywhere, Macau, all these beautiful casinos, and people were so happy when they got me $100 bill. I had a great life. So there's the $50 bill. Where have you been? He said, oh, I was in all the 5-star hotels and restaurants, and People were eating food and then using me, and it was a wonderful life. And then they asked the $20 bill. He said, well, my life hasn't been too good. I've been stuck in ATMs. You know? I'm just stuck, and it's so hard to come out, and I'm so thankful finally I'm out now, out of the ATM. So they asked the $1 bill, how has your life been? He said, well, it's kind of boring. I go from the Catholic Church to the Protestant Church to the to the Hindu temple. That's what we do. We go to the temple, we put $1 and we make sure that everybody is watching. And then God, see, in a casino, we don't mind, or a restaurant, $100, $200. But when it comes to the temple, that is the problem. So they say that give it and give it with in plenty. There's a beautiful story about this. It says that Karna, you heard of Karna in the Mahabharata. He was known for his daan, very dani. And one time he was not of this, not the Kavaj Kundal. That's also a good story. But this one is, he was taking a bath in the river, and he had a golden pot made of pure gold, which he had oil, which he was putting on his body. So this poor Brahmin says, can you give me something? Now, Karna had the pot in his left hand and he was using the right hand to apply oil. So he gave the pot just like that. So the Brahmin got insulted. You know, he said, it's okay, you gave me the gold pot, but giving with the left hand is very insulting. You know, in India, we consider you have to give with the right hand. So she says, you insulted me. Why did you give with the left hand? Karna says, look, he prostrated. He said, look, I'm sorry. I gave you with the left hand. You know why? Because from transferring to the left hand to the right hand, I might have changed my mind. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't even want to take that chance. So I just gave it when the moment came. But our situation is different. You know, we go to a temple and there are announcements that we need to build a building or some spiritual place. We need to expand. So everybody is donating 1,000. So we say, I think I should give 1,000. So I put in my pocket, take out a check. By the time the check comes out, not 1,000, I think 500 will be enough. And then I take out the pen, and by the time I write, it becomes 101. So that is our state, where we are very reluctant because of insecurity. The other thing they say, that when you give, give without ego. It is not me. The moment I think I am giving, then all the ego comes, the arrogance comes, the pride comes. Oh, I am the greatest donor. I am this, I am that. Whatever I have is given by the Lord. And by giving, I am pleasing the Lord. It's nobody else. And whatever Swami Chinmayananda says, whatever you have is the Lord's gift to you. What you do with what you have is your gift to him. And people always worry, if I give, then, my money will get less. At least what I have heard, and from my own personal experience, anytime you give somewhere good, because he's the Lord of Lakshmi, he has everything, you get much more back, not only the spiritual, not only the mental satisfaction, but even financially. Definitely the money never gets less. Look at Bill Gates. He gives $1 billion every year. Billion, not a million, not a thousand, billion. And still his net worth keeps growing. Never you have heard that Bill Gates. So it never happens. And that is the rules of giving. I was reading the Taittiriya Upanishad. We do that every year with the children when they graduate. And in the Taittiriya Upanishad, there is this rules of giving. And the teacher tells the student, when the student is graduating and going off after he has finished his, where they live in the ashram for, 10, 12 years. And in the Gurukul, and after they are graduating, they are going on to the world out to work. Then the student is given a discourse by the teacher. And part of them, he of course talks about many things, about how to deal with the world and how to live and all that, but part of it is about the rules of giving. And he says that you have got the education free from this educational institution. It now becomes your duty to give back, not only to the educational institution, but to the world, because so much has been given to you. So that's what he says. Shraddhaya deyam, ashraddhaya deyam, Shriyadeyam, Hriyadeyam. So he says, give with faith. If you believe in a cause or if you believe in an organization, give it. Sometimes people are too lazy. You know, somebody comes and he's bugging us just to get rid of him. You know, just that is called tamasic giving, where you give just to get rid of the person so he doesn't come back. No, you should have faith in the organization. Give it to the right place at the right time. And do not give where you don't have faith. So that means investigate the place. And then he says, Shriyadeyam, and then give in plenty. Do not be conjuice while giving. Share with whatever the best you can. We're not saying that give everything and become poor. Give a percentage. But every year, certain amount, certain percentage of our income should be set aside for charitable giving. And, you know, in lot of, like in the Christianity, they believe in that. They give 10% to the church. In Muslims, they do that, zakat, they call, where they give a percentage of the income in charity. So that has to be done. And it says Shriyadeyam and Hriyadeyam, give with modesty. Do not give to show off. Do not give to, you know, let others get impressed. But do it silently. They say even the left hand should not know what the right hand has done. So with that kind of modesty, that kind of and help, when you find somebody needs help, help in plenty, Shriyadeyam. So that is what the true sattvic giving is, where we choose the right place, the right time, to the right person, and give to the best of my ability after having judged and investigated it. And I think that as human beings, we have so much, we have received so much from the Lord, as I was started out today's, you know, session with the gratitude, that one can be grateful for all that the Lord has given us. And there is so much we get free. The sunlight is free, the air is free, the water. There is so much the Lord is giving us. So just by living on this earth as human beings, we are constantly accumulating negative karmic balance, because you are getting so much without paying. You say, oh, I worked for this money, so it's mine. Yes, but did you work for the sunlight? Did you work for the air, the water, the rain, everything that the crops, everything that the Lord is giving? So we are constantly developing a negative karmic balance with the world. So the only way to adjust that is by consciously giving, helping as much as I can, wherever I can. So that is called sattvic danam. That's what Krishna says is sattvic danam. Any comments, any questions about this?
So you talk about right person, right time, and right quantity.
Right.
So does that mean we should not give it to a homeless person? We don't know what that individual is up to. Or a beggar, for instance. I believe we don't know whether or not he deserves it or he doesn't.
Especially a lot of times I find that a lot of them use the money for drugs or for alcohol and all. So yeah, I think better is, like, suppose you really want to feed a homeless person, that place on Niles where they feed the homeless. We have, as a mission, 2-3 times we have gone and served lunch. Now that is a place worth helping, because there's 200-400 people who walk through, and that is the only meal they have for the whole day. And you should see them, how they are. So that kind of a place where, you know, you donate money, and then you can actually stand in the line and actually feed them as they give them money as... Not money, but give them food as they go by. So I think, to me, that is better giving than to give money to a homeless person. But if there is somebody who you know is genuinely hurting, or, you know, but again, in India, sometimes they purposely maim and disfigure, you know, these children, and also that they become, again, and that again, money doesn't go to that beggar in India. It actually goes to the politician or the gangster, you know, who they leave them there every day, and then pick them up at the end of the day, and they just beat them and barely give them food. So I think, yeah, we should do it with discrimination.
But if you discriminate, doesn't that mean we're judging this individual now?
then there is no difference between you and the tree, right? So you're just blindly giving to everybody. But again, I think where the money will be properly used, if you're giving it to an alcoholic, you give him $20 and he goes and gets drunk, or you give to a drug addict who is homeless and he says, I need my hungry and homeless and all that, sitting for food, and you give him $20 and he goes buys drugs, then your gift is tamasic. That's not sattvic giving. So that's why Krishna says, use your intellect. Deshe kale cha patre cha.
It's just like, you know, there are questions about any organization too.
Right.
And, you know, you give it to United Way and they say, oh, they spend 90% of the administration.
True. Right. So, yeah. So,
I mean, there has to be some way we ought to say, you know what, I'm doing my part.
Yeah. If that is your attitude, that's fine. If your intention is to help, and then if the person misuses the money, but Krishna says you can still investigate, because there are degrees.
Right.
I mean, again, not to keep coming back, but God, the one that we support, 95% of the money goes to the cause.
Right.
The administrative expense is less than 5%, because it's all volunteers, and we have investigated carefully because we have been with the mission for more than 20 years. Not a penny gets spent here and there. It's very well, the Chinmaya Mission all over the world is a very well-run organization, very honest. In fact, if you look at Swami Tejomaya Nandaji, he has nothing. All he has is a suitcase and with a little computer and his four pairs of clothes and socks, and that's all he has. There is no house that he has in his name, no property. In fact, in Bombay, he lives in a two-bedroom type of a hut. He has no security guards. He has nothing. He has no cars. People just pick him up and drive. He doesn't even have a bulletproof car, nothing. He's the head of a worldwide organization of, 300 centers. And the net worth of this, each center is, say, if you is worth, say, 2 million, like our building is worth 2 million. Suppose, so 300 is times how many, billions it is. He has nothing to his name. And that is the kind of organization that we can support, I think. I'm not trying to but I'm just telling you the truth.
But it's a struggle.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
In India, we can give them food. Here, we cannot give them food.
Right.
If he says, I'm hungry, we cannot say, okay, let me take you to Subway and give you a sandwich or something.
No, what you do is, I think you drive around if you have time, and then you buy a meal and then hand it to them. I've seen people do, pull over and they hand over the drink.
Right, hand over a meal and a drink.
If you really care for those things, we have to go for one more step, I guess.
Right.
Oh. But that reminds me of the Sudama and Krishna example. Like,
right.
Say when you go to somebody's house, you should take the gift. But so many times, when you go to somebody's place, and that economic barrier difference is so much, you cannot just go and take something which you feel like. But that example, Sudama took those tandoors and Krishna was eating examples in this era is so way off. So we have to just change our own decision every day, I guess.
Right.
Sanji, that's why we have flowers. When nothing works, flowers.
Just take flowers. Yeah, again, I think it's the motive. See, that's what Krishna saw, that Sudama's motive. He was trying to hide the rice because he didn't know that my friend has become, this emperor of Mathura. Now he has this huge palace. He thought, he's just my friend. But so then Krishna could see the motive. And I think that's ultimately that's what matters, your motive and intention. And you can only do your best, and then ultimately let the Lord worry about the results. But there is a difference. Not all organizations are good, or not all organizations are bad, and so we just have to do the best we can.
Can I say something?
Yes, sure.
My husband and I worked for the VA for many years, not here but in the Washington, but I believe there's similarity all over. We used to give money to these people standing around until we realized, number one, a lot of them were veterans. The other thing I realized working at the VA itself was when a lot of them would say, I can't go to a homeless shelter, you'd find they are restricted from going to a homeless center after they either come back drunk or use drugs and created a problem. There is a reason why. Otherwise, there's so much programs available. that there is no reason a person should stand at a corner and ask for money. And I don't know about here, but in Seattle, if you go downtown, there'll be some people holding a cardboard that says, "Why lie? I want a drink." So, I mean, there's, at least we have seen enough that I subscribe to what Dr. Mehta says. Give it to an organization that helps.
Right.
Because it's more likely than not that these people who stand on these corners with a board or something are misrepresenting or minimizing their responsibility in why they are there.
I heard that one of the homeless guys, I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody said that one of the homeless guys here, actually someone else came and picked him up in a BMW at the end of the day. Yeah, he was...
They come there with a flask. There's one guy who stands in that exit of, what's the number, 26A or 99, with a flask and a backpack, and you see him taking a break to go and eat.
Right.
Lunchtime.
Well, they work very hard at standing there. Yeah.
No, it is hard work. It is hard work, no question about it. But I think supporting organizations, to me, is the better if they are, you know, if you know that they are doing
genuine. And also some people display a talent or an art also, and then they are collecting monies,
right,
which is also something, you know, we can use our wise judgment to.
Right.
Somebody's
right.
Playing violin, and, you know, then you want to
mm-hmm.
offer them some money.
Absolutely.
Because it's actually... displaying something.
Right, or making some art. Yeah, they're doing something worthwhile. Right, some effort. Right.